Yeah, we're here. It's the news, according to me. Oh, hey, it's Friday, Financial Friday. We have February 6th, 9:21 a.m. already. It's only taken me about an hour to get ready for the show. All because I had to try to move this crazy computer program thing around. I'm trying to get that dealt with. My computer's going very slow this morning. I'm not sure exactly what's going on with that. Hopefully, it continues to record, because occasionally what happens is this thing will stop recording, and I don't notice it, and I lose parts of the show. So the goal today, ladies and gentlemen, is to be able to keep an eye on that while I got it juggling up, got 12 other things. In the meantime, so this is the show where I tell you I'm not a doctor, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not a financial counselor, I am not an expert in geopolitical anything. I'm not a don't take my financial advice. Today is Financial Friday. We usually talk about finances and stuff. That's how professional I am. And stuff. I use that kind of phraseology because we learn that kind of thing in the School of Higher Learning. How to fill in the blanks with stuff like stuff. I see how I used it two times there in that sentence. Because I'm a highly trained professional. I'm not trained in speaking, but I am trained in something. So I'm just not that. So there you go. I have an interesting... So for some of you who have been following along this week, I've been toying with this little toy that I've been building. It's an app I've been working on. Among other, I got about seven other apps I'm working on at the same time. I keep coming up with these crazy ideas, and so I'm gonna build an app for that. I'm going crazy. I've got an AI agent, one of my LLM model. I'm speaking out of a bunch of language, you guys. Some of you may not understand. I don't want to leave anybody behind here. The large language model is what an LLM is, and it's basically ChatGPT. I don't use ChatGPT much. It is a pretty good model, though. And it's very good for some things. the way it works with AI is you have different models for different things. So you might use ChatGPT for a particular type of project you're working on. You might use Gemini, which is Google's version of an AI system. You might use that for doing certain types of work, and they have a pretty wide, broad range of things they can do, and they're. But there's certain things that do better. Like Claude does better with coding, supposedly. And I've had pretty good experience with that. Experiences. I'm not experienced at it, but I've had good rapport with that. And then you have things like Grok. Grok is, I guess it's got its place. I don't use it much. I guess it's getting better. Everything's getting better over the time. I mean, everything's working out. This is the whole thing that. This is much like Facebook or anything else. Anything that's free. Now, I've got paid services on some of them because I need more power to be able to do some things, to be able to get them apps actually built. If you're just using it for kind of general daily stuff. I was using, kind of toying with all of them for a while when I was working on cars. And I would say that I could put a picture of it on the thing and it would come up with, oh, this is you got, or I could put my VIN number into one of them and it would give me all the information on that thing. It would find information that I couldn't find anywhere else. I mean, literally I've got a Coachman motorhome, and I couldn't find information. That thing came up with everything about it, the electrical, everything. I fixed several things on my motorhome while I was on vacation there for a couple of weeks, only because I just typed in what I had to go on. I showed the picture, and I would type in what was going on and what the coach was, and it would say, oh, this is what the kind of... This kind of water heater you have. This is what you have on here. This is what kind of hydraulic system you've got. You know, if you should be able to find the wire that should be a red wire that's going. Don't cut the red wire. Don't cut the blue one. Whatever. It was just always the kind of, you know, very helpful in that respect. So that's kind of a level two. Level one is where people just kind of use it as a glorified Google search type thing, finding out kind of information. They'll put in some things and kind of get maybe a small project. You know, something like that you're making a slide deck or something. That's kind of level 1, 1.5. Level two is where you actually kind of use it for some projects, but it's you might work through a whole project, putting something together, a business plan, whatever you're doing. Level three is where you start building things. You start really actually creating like an income from it. I'm trying to work. I'm about 2.5 right now from it. Now, I'm not an expert. I'm just trying to get to a place where I can actually start making some things that will make some money. I've got generated income. I've got some online courses I'm working on. That's actually pretty much done. All I have to do now is fill in some of the there's some voiceover I have to do for it because I have to use my own voice. I'm not going to use it's a class on voiceover. I'm not going to use AI generated voice. Now there are parts of it that I will because I'm going to talk about AI in the course. AI generated voices and the threat that it is to voiceover industry. However, I'm also working on that. I started an app on that for voiceover artists to protect their voices and their careers and their. So that's a whole other app thing I'm working on. That one's actually probably going to be the most expensive one because it has to use a lot of voice recognition technology, watermarking, all kinds of things that will help to protect the voiceover artist. But however, that's going to also expand the voiceover artist's capability. So there's some things that it will do through AI to generate their voice and actually help them create a wider spread of clients that they wouldn't otherwise have. So that they may get paid less for using their voice, but their voice will be used about 1,000 times more than it would have been before. So just things like that are kind of where we're going with that, all that stuff. Anyway, I got this app I'm playing with. I played it with a couple times this week where I've got callers that call in. This thing's kind of a virtual director, a virtual producer kind of thing. It sits in the background, listens to everything I say. Unfortunately, half the time it thinks I'm saying other things. I'm watching the transcript of everything I'm saying as I'm speaking right now. Apparently I talk too fast or something. I don't know. And it comes up with all kinds of weird things. I'll see cuss words fly across the screen. I'll see all kinds of things, which I don't do. That's which is kind of weird. So anybody that looks at the content of my show here, unfortunately, the searches now on the one side, it's got all these little searches. If I talk about a news issue, something that's in the news, somebody that said something, it's supposed to pop up with this information, and it's supposed to be queued to that video on that particular place of that person saying it. Now, it's doing a much better job of that. We've actually linked to some better things. Me and the team of AI bots have created a little bit more robust system over there where the searches are a little bit better. Plus, I have more options. I can type in kind of some show topics, and it's supposed to pull up stuff on those topics. So it'll actually literally pull up things there, and then I'll also pull up things as I'm speaking. I might be dividing some of that stuff up. Then I can also just put in a regular manual search. I can just type in something, and it'll come up with it. So I can do all this stuff too. So it's got all that stuff on that side. In the middle is the caller part. It's in the middle, but I got another panel there. It's in the middle. It's all callers, and I can have these callers call in. If I mention a particular thing, it puts that call. It highlights that caller. If it's got trigger words, it'll highlight that caller. I can see all the callers right now, and then I can type in things for what they're going to say, what they're going to do. It's kind of a fun way to play with that kind of stuff, and then it goes on from there. It's supposed to take AI on from there. It's supposed to deep search the web, and carry on a conversation with me. We'll see how that goes. That's the ultimate goal, as to where this is going. Later on, I've got some other things that are going to be plugged into this thing that I think are going to be really helpful for some people in their podcasts. It's going to be a very, very niche, but it's going to be a very, I think, very helpful part of their podcasts. They can have a guest on their show or whatever. And we'll just, I'm just all for them. That's all I'm going to say about that. So let's, first of all, talk about what's in my cup. I have, it's a real cup. It's not a virtual cup. It's not an AI cup. It's just a cup. And it does have a specific meaning saying on it. It says, "I'd agree with you, but then we'd both be wrong." And it's a good cup for this show, because this is the show where I tell you what my opinion is, and then you tell me what you think about my opinion. If you have any way to contact the show, I don't know what happened to my phone. Where did my phone go? Yeah, I'm having a lot of issues with my recording right now. My phone is gone. It's about the third time I've gone into this particular part of the show. my recording system it keeps quitting on me, and it just quit right there when I was asking about my phone. So here we go again. I have hopefully it doesn't do this while I'm doing some other parts of the show, but we'll see how it goes. I have if you have to go back to tomorrow's show or yesterday's show, we have to go to tomorrow's show. You have to go to yesterday's show to find out what the phone number is here. I totally don't have it in front of me, and I don't have my phone in front of me. I don't know how to do it. I think I must have left it upstairs. But it's nonetheless. I can't remember what all I talked about, and this is where it gets difficult because I know I've talked about some of the things prior to the show here. Now it's here I go again. I don't know what I talked about. I'm not sure what I talked about, the cup or not. The cup. What's in my cup? I think I did chai with big train chai with vanilla creamer, and I think I might have talked about the computers. I think I did talk about the computers. I have a computer here that's I don't think I talked about it. I think I talked about them on the second part of the show. I recorded again for another 5-10 minutes, and it's all gone. It evaporated on me. Sometimes it stays, sometimes it doesn't. So now I have to record this in segments so it doesn't, so I don't lose anything. Anyway, today's topic. Let's just dive into it right off the bat here. Just jump into it. No fluff. You know, there's no fluff here. Just all me talking about what I'm doing. Again, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a financial counselor. Talking about inflation today. And so the whole point of today's show is Financial Friday. And we talk about more about finances. Now, we'll talk about some other things, too, because we're going to have some callers. A little segment I like to call Fun with AI. We're gonna play with this app a little bit, see what it does, and just kind of toying with it right now until it gets kind of up and running. So we'll just have fun with it for now. And of course, every time I talk about a particular topic, the little callers light up over there and say that that's part of their thing. If I say if it determines that I've said a particular word, again, I probably need to up my technology here a little bit more. But the so here's this guy. His name, Garrett Gunderson TV is the channel that put this out. It was, and I don't think this is him. I think this is another, a different guy, but he's talking about inflation and why it's a stealth tax. He spells it out pretty clearly. I think he kind of puts it in a way that I think he just explains it in a way that's, you know, the guy's a little bit of a, I don't know what he's about, but he's one of those kinds of people that, you know, he's kind of on the edge. Just tell by looking at the guy, this thumbnail here. But anyway, So let's just play this. Now, this is the guy. I was hoping to have a guy. I've got a financial guy that I talked to him about doing a podcast where I would just interview him. I could do it over the phone or whatever. He's local here, so he could actually come over and do the show with me. But sometimes it's easier just to have him call in. But the here's the. So here's the deal. He can't do it. He works for a financial institution, and in order for him to be on the show, he has to get written permission from them, and he has to have specific topics he's going to talk about. And he has to make sure he's very careful about what he talks about. Boy, now I understand that. I've been in situations where, in fact, the company I currently work for, I have to be very careful about certain things I say about certain topics. Especially the company itself. I can't, that's why I don't really talk about the company or what I do. I just try to stay away from that as much as possible. I do talk about the industry a little bit, but I don't talk about the actual company. What just happened? There he is. All right. So we're going to go into this, see how this goes. We're going to play this guy's thing here, and let me see what you think about what I think here.
Unfortunately, it's in the government's best interest to utilize inflation. It's a stealth tax because they don't have to collect money. They just devalue money, and they owe $34 trillion in the United States right now. How would they ever pay that back? Well, if that $34 trillion feels like $15 trillion 10 years from now, that's a lot better for them. When we understand this, you see that really wealthy people often will utilize banks to get inexpensive money because they're better investors. Now, the average person doesn't really think about how to invest. They think about how to accumulate. Only thing about accumulation is they go to very efficient markets, like the stock market. That's a publicly traded market. It's very efficient. There's very few people that know how to beat that market. And sometimes it's because of the flash traders that are skimming money, dark pools, which hedge funds can get different prices than everybody else. There's a game going on that most people aren't aware of. So they lose to inflation by just setting their money aside and they focus on their wage. And the wage gets decimated with inflation. What doesn't is our assets. Inflation bumps the price of the asset up. Unfortunately, it's in the government's best interest to utilize
it. So that's, there you go. This is, it repeats itself. This is where I think it's really critical to understand. I am in an industry right now where I'm doing basically the same job I did 20 years ago. And, or similar, just similar. I started off doing, I went back, let's say this. I went back in 2018 to do the same job I was doing basically 15 years earlier. When I left that job, I was making a wage that was, it was pretty decent. It was pretty decent wage at the time. Felt like I was making good money. Now I was taking most of that money, was going into a business I was trying to start. So I was not only using my money, I was using credit cards and everything else to finance it. In fact, took all of my 401k out to put it all in. I was all in on this company. I thought it was going to be the thing. And it could have been. It still could be. I think it's still a viable business. In fact, other people have done it. They've made it through jumped through some hurdles that had done similar kind of work in that industry. However, the market just tanked in 2008. The 2008 economy hit. I started the company in 2007. Well, actually 2006, and end of 2006 when I publicly kind of went out there started doing the company. By the end of 2008. Right around 2009, the economy was just tanking, and the industry I was in was in the marine industry, and it was terrible. It was just a time. By the end of 2009, I'd shut everything down, just closed it up and shut it down. It was impossible to keep it going. Boat shows it pretty much closed. The recreational boat market. It was very different than the COVID economy that we went through. Recreational vehicles and boats and RVs were just in hot demand. It would have been a great time to be in that particular industry. But still, the boat show, you couldn't go to boat shows. It was hard to market anything at that point other than just actually selling the boat itself. So, and my I wasn't selling boats. I was selling, products that went with sailboats, basically, specifically. Now, having said that, it was a very difficult economy to be involved in. But I was making decent money at that time when I left the aviation world at that time. Now, when I went back, I was making about the same amount of money to start that I made when I left there. I'm currently making twice as much. Now, this was, so over the last 18, so it's been 8 years, almost 9 years, that I went back, I'm making almost twice as much as I was making when I was there before, when I left the first time in 2007. Now, I do not feel like I'm making twice as much money. When we go out to eat, when we used to go to Chili's and it was 2 for $20, they had 2 for $20 on the menu. You could get two meals for $20. Plus, if you got a soda pop, it was $3 or $2. Actually, back then it was about $1, and they didn't mind refilling it. It was $1.50 or $2, whatever it was. Now it's $4. Wife and I walked out of a little Mexican place that I like to go to. She doesn't like it so much, but it's I like to go there. And it was $50 before the tip for the two of us to eat. And it's okay. So by the time you pay the tip, that's $51 because I'm a pretty generous tipper. So yeah, it was kind of a slap in the face. Of course, and back then, gas prices weren't all that much different, but it was, back then you could fill up your tank for $30. Now it's 40, 45, depending on, what day you fill it up. In my area, gas prices fluctuate like crazy. Some places they stay very stable for weeks. But around here, they can go up 30 cents in a day. It's ridiculous. Again, I did another glitch in my recording system, so I'm just going to move on with this stuff. It's going to be a very short show. I've had about a 1-hour show now that you've probably missed about 30 minutes of it. I think I've only got about 20 minutes recorded so far. Anyway, let's move on to this whole thing. So this idea of inflation, anyway, the whole point being is that you feel like you're making more money because your wages have increased, but the cost of living has gone up. Which means that, like he was saying, if the government owes $37 trillion and they continue to print money to pay that, here's how the way they could do this without, it's supposed to be based on population. When I was talking about the Fed, let's back up here a little bit for a bit. Here's the deal. My understanding of it is, and this is basically the basic income level. So if the average income, I think the average income now is $68,000 or $70,000. Let me just look it up. I could look it up because it's not popping up over here in my newsfeed. What is the average income? Let's type it in over here because it's easier to do. Let's go to Google. Or DuckDuckGo actually is what I use. Average income, a U.S. household. I'm just going to go with household. 2025. Let's see what it was for last year. So last year's average income. What do we have here? It looks like it's going on from here. The average is $87,000. The average household income in the United States for 2025 is reported to be approximately $87,000. Now, this is kind of what we're shooting for retirement, is that we would be able to get that kind of an income in our retirement years, and hopefully kind of keep that going up with hobby income, what I call side gig type stuff. I'm never going to stop doing stuff that, just tinkering around with business ideas. So that's just never going to happen for me. That's just who I am. Even though I retire from one of my jobs, it's not like I'm going to stop being productive and just go out and feed the ducks. That's not going to happen. So that's the average income. So there's a difference between average and mean and all that stuff. They like to play with these numbers. Not a lot of difference between the two, but the mean is the middle. Say if somebody makes $1 billion a year and then somebody else makes $10 a year, that the mean is is basically $500 million. However, the average income is based on how many people there are in that pool. So if there's 100,000 households in that pool, the average that you divide that by 100,000, and then what the average is works out. So they play with these numbers all the time. They can be different. Well, the mean income is what, the left uses this all the time because they want to tax the rich and they want to go after them and all this stuff. It's of course, the rich pay a ridiculous amount of taxes. So many examples of this kind of thing where what happens is there was a really good story. Did I play this on – I might have actually played this on the show. I can't remember. Maybe I read the article. These guys all go out for lunch. I think I told you about this. I think I might have played this. These 10 guys go out for lunch every week. And they all pay the, like, if you based it on the amount of taxes that people pay. So the richest of them, one guy paid for some ridiculous amount of the bill. So they get this bill; it's always $100. And of course, with that to feed 10 guys, it tells you when this story first started, probably in the 50s. So they go out for lunch and they all pay $10 a piece, and they it's based on how much they make. The first four don't pay anything. They get their lunch for free. And the next, I think I recorded. It seems like I recorded this. Did I record this? I have to. It's probably on my phone. I doubt if it's in my. Let's just check and see if I actually have it here on my stuff, because I don't think I do. It could be in my photos here. It's just because it's some things transfer over to my cloud and some things don't. I don't know why that is. No, see, it's taking forever. My computer's just, it's time to kind of, I think it's time to just kind of dump a bunch of stuff off this thing, because I'm pretty sure it's getting clogged up, especially with all this stuff I've been doing with the terminal. It's pulling up. this whole story, the whole way this whole thing goes is that these four guys, four of them don't have to pay anything. One of them pays like $2 or a dollar something. Another one pays like a little over $2. And another one pays, I think, $5 or $10. And the last guy pays like $50 or something ridiculous, $55 or whatever it is. So they go through this whole thing, and the restaurant owner comes back and says, you know, this is Milton Friedman. Okay, this is, I don't think that was it. Let me see if we can go back to looking at all this stuff. So the restaurant owner comes and says, you know, you guys are such good customers here. I want to give you guys a break. I'm gonna give you $20 off. I'm gonna give you a $20 discount, as it were, on your that's not it. I'm gonna give you a $20 discount on your fees, on your bill today. So I'm gonna give you. Is this the one? I don't think this is the one. This is Joe Rogan's. Yeah, it's taking forever to play. So he gets this. They get this bill. They get this $20 off. Well, so the people who were they decided to divide it up equally. Well, now the four guys who were, of course, getting it for free, they're still getting it for free. The fifth guy now gets it for free. The way they divide this thing up, and then of course the next guy actually gets paid. It's a ridiculous thing. And then the last guy gets like $5 off the amount that he was paying. And of course the guy that was paying the most, I think he got like $17 off or whatever it was. Whatever he got off. Anyway, so he still has to pay a significant amount. And the guys at the bottom, the four guys at the bottom, say they gave all these people tax breaks, but it's all based, you know, that's all just set up for the rich people. They're the ones that get all the breaks. They're the ones that get everything. And of course, the guys in the middle, they're all saying, well, you know, there's only like one guy out of the whole thing that thought it was a good deal. And of course, then they go out. So the guys are all at the bottom. They're all complaining. They're all shaking their fists at the rich guy, saying, well, why does he get $17 off? He's just getting all the tax breaks. They get everything. Well, the next week, the rich guy didn't show up. This is how it works. Rich people don't need to participate in this stuff. And in fact, they have ways of getting around this stuff all the time. I got loopholes. They can pay the. No, it's not loopholes. It's the way they make. It's the decisions that they make, the choices that they make, and the situations they get themselves into. And yeah, yep. There's a guy who was very wealthy, and he was giving his money. He was helping. He gave hundreds of thousands, I think millions actually. I mean, he gave hundreds of thousands of dollars away in certain communities. He gave millions of dollars away. This guy made, I think he sold something for like $2 billion, some kind of tech thing where he sold something for $2 billion. And he always said, if I ever make that kind of money, I'm going to go out and help solve the homeless crisis, the go out and feed the poor and do all this stuff. So he starts doing this. And he starts handing the money. I think actually Tony Robbins talked about this one time at one point. He went through this. I think he almost went financially broke because of this. He was out there helping people, and he was trying to do his best to, you know, just handing out cash, handing out money, giving them a leg up, so to speak. I'll just get you back on your feet kind of thing. Well, here's what happens. These people who've made very bad decisions, very bad choices. Now, not everybody who's poor is there because they've – because of decisions that they've made. Now, you could ultimately probably say, yeah, it's decisions you've made that have gotten you where you are. It's not racial. It's not anything else. It's the way you've been brought up and programmed and everything else and made you're partially the way your parents set you off to make decisions. Maybe critical thinking skills, whatever it was. that caused all of that, that got you into that situation. It's just yeah. Poor financial training. And then, of course, the public school system, it just lets us down as well. It reinforces the whole idea that we're not going to teach you how to manage money, how to invest for the future, how to do any of this kind of stuff. And it's like he was saying, investments, you know, the stock market is kind of the baseline. At least it's something. Most people are not there at all in that process. Now, having said all that, of course, my thing, it's been 10 minutes, so my thing failed again. I've got a backup recording system going on right now, so hopefully I'll be able to just continue on with the flow. Anyway, that's the whole thing we need to recognize is what's happening here. The point I'm trying to get at here is when they print money, it should be based on the economy. When you – let's say you have a, you know, 300 million people in the country and you have an employment at a certain rate. There are certain people that normal household income. Let's say it's $50,000 just to make it things even. There should be enough money in circulation that goes with the GDP, goes with everything that's there. That there's a plenty of money available to cover all the household income, the average household income plus whatever is out there, whatever. Infrastructure is probably the only thing, if it's a infrastructure that actually helps economic growth, is the only thing that you can really print money for that actually makes any sense, that actually gets a return and increases people's life value, you know, their dollar value. Otherwise, let's say I have $10 and everybody in the community has $10. And we start off with that $10. Now, we all have to try to survive and buy from each other, and so we get that $10 to work with. At some point, some people are going to end up with more than $10 and other people are going to end up with less than $10. But the thing is, that dollar bill still remains the same value because there's only a certain amount of money in circulation. So everybody working for that same dollar. So the value of that dollar becomes greater. The issue now is if somebody else comes in and throws in, let's say somebody throws in, you know, $10,000 into the community, just starts throwing it in there, starts buying things up, starts doing things, starts, you know, buying services, goods and services. All of a sudden, my dollar has to compete with that other dollar. My dollar is not worth as much because somebody else can pay $2 for something for that item that I want, for that candy bar that I was going to eat for my daily food or whatever. Maybe my daily food cost me $1. So I was going to pay $1 for that food, and now I have to pay $2 because somebody else is coming in and they're willing to pay for more for it. And so their prices start going up. This is how inflation happens. Now, this is the way the government sets all this up. So this $37 trillion. Well, if the average income is $37 trillion a year, $37 trillion is nothing at all. The government can just pay it off in a day. The problem is, so that's the extreme. That's what I'm talking about. So when they control the amount of money in circulation, which is what the government, the Treasury Secretary supposedly helps with this, you know, I don't even know why we have a Treasury Secretary other than to regulate things. And that's where the whole point kind of gets. It's kind of a very frustrating part of this whole thing. Now, we've got a caller on the line. Looks like Artie here is on the line. I've got different names for these guys, but this is the AI. Fun, it's a little fun with AI. Let's talk about what's going on here and see what this guy has to say, and we'll go from there. Welcome to the show.
Hi there. Good to be on your show.
Yeah, of course.
Have you heard about the taxation in the Northern Virginia area that they are proposing?
Well, yes, I have, actually. I have heard that. Now, it's kind of a crazy. They're taxing everything. I think this is in the Arlington area. They're taxing everything in that area. My understanding is they're taxing car repairs. They're taxing all this stuff, ridiculous stuff, just everything. I'm not sure if the governor is going to go along with it or not. They have a new governor. What was the guy's name? Youngkin is gone. Got this new governor now, and they're talking about actually that she may not actually even veto this stuff. We'll see what happens. But what do you think, Artie? What's your opinion?
Well, technically speaking, the proposed tax increases in Northern Virginia are concerning, as they appear to be an attempt to generate revenue through expansive taxation rather than fostering economic growth and development,
right,
which would be a more prudent approach, in my opinion.
Yeah. you know, it kind of sounds like a robot. This is the whole thing has got to, that's got to change. It's got to become more conversational. But there you go. He actually responded to everything I said. Now, this is what I think is important to understand. I think is that the general population in Virginia, I'm not sure what it is. I think the general population is more rural than urban. And I think that the folks who want things for nothing are kind of pushing this whole thing, but they don't realize the taxation. The burden of the taxation is going to be a problem in there economically there, in my opinion. Maybe Artie's got some insight on this. We'll see what he has to say about it. What do you think, Artie?
Ah, I see. Based on the new information, it does seem the proposed tax increases may face some resistance from the new governor, which could be a positive development.
Maybe.
And you're right. My initial response may have sounded a bit Rob.
Okay, that's already that's a lot better than it was. They just had kind of canned responses happening before. That wasn't too bad at all. so there you go. That's kind of the thing so the callers can call in based on, it's supposed to be based on context of the show. Now my show has no context. The context of my show is typically about 12 different topics, and then there's all these. Each topic has about 10 subtopics, and you never know what topic is going to be next or where it's going to pop up on the radar. So, there you go. Now, anyway, so let's talk about something else. We've got another caller here. I don't know what Skip is on the line. Let's see what Skip wants to talk about. See what he has to say. I'm not sure exactly what he's going to say.
Good morning. Hey, thanks for taking my call. What are your thoughts on the folks in Mini who are setting up checkpoints around parts of their communities to keep ice out?
Well, ice is everywhere right now. It's freezing cold outside. Oh, you're referring to the ICE agents, Immigration Customs Enforcement. Whatever ICE stands for. Maybe you can tell me what ICE stands for. They're setting, ironically, this is what's ironic to me about this whole thing. This is the irony of the left. They're setting up checkpoints because they're trying to protect their community from people they don't want in their community. Do you see the irony here? This is the point. They have a border. They're setting up a border with a checkpoint. Now, the thing that I've got, the problem I've got with this mostly is just the whole violating people's rights. But don't you find it quite ironic that they're setting up a border to protect people who are here that have crossed our border illegally, but they're trying to protect themselves from certain individuals? That seems just
well.
Odd
now
to
I
me.
Don't want to go and rile anyone up here, but I gotta say the irony of these folks setting up checkpoints to keep out the immigration folks is not lost on me.
Yeah, good.
Seems.
He just kind of cut out on me there. I'm not sure why. Apparently, that's all he's going to say. I do have some adjustments I can make on this thing. Let's see if I can get him to talk a little bit more. But one of the things that bothers me most about this is that they're violating people's rights. You have the right to peaceable travel on what's called an easement, and that's what roads are. Roads are built on easements. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. But this is the way I understand it. I have the right to peaceably travel from point A to point B, and you don't have the right to stop me. Your right to protest does not override my right to peaceable travel. And you don't have the right to stop me and ask me questions and ask who I am and take my license plate number. You don't have the right to do that. So that's what bothers me about this, mostly about this whole thing. And what do you think?
You're really hitting the nail on the head there, my friend.
Well, of course
I am.
I always do.
The irony of these folks setting up their own little border checkpoints to keep out the immigration agents?
Yeah.
When they're supposed to be all for open borders. It's just rich, ain't it? And you're absolutely right. They're trampling all over people's rights with these stunts. Last I checked, we still had a right to free and peaceful travel in this country.
Correcto mundo. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, and so it's kind of like this whole thing where they busted into the church and started protesting there and stopped their service and disrupted everything. That's your right, your free, you know, your freedom of religion. And they came in and busted up that whole thing and basically stopped. And then they started accusing them of all kinds of things. And that was very frustrating too. This is the kind of thing where people get so zealous about their self-righteousness and they become so, I guess their virtue signaling and everything else that they do is quite annoying. To say the least.
It's so nice of you to take my call.
Here's Chloe.
I forgot what I was going to ask.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What are we going to do about all this stolen land? I mean, like, you know, like we're all on stolen land?
Yeah. Now, I'm curious. Sorry. If you're, maybe you're a leftist. I don't know. You're talking about stolen land. Billie English was, or Eilish, whatever her name is. Like, whatever. Billie Eilish. I think Billie Eilish. Whatever her name is. Whoever it is. She recently made this comment. So it was at the Emmys, whatever it was, some kind of award show she was talking on. And she was saying something about, you know, it's hard to be illegal on stolen land. Of course, now what happened was this tribe, I guess, that she's, she has this mansion. She built a very multi-million dollar home. I don't know who she is. I don't know if she's a singer or what she is. I don't know what she is. And so apparently she has this home that's built on land that was some kind of a supposedly Cherokee or what some kind of Indian tribe. I don't know what it was. Maybe you know. And she was on this. So now they've come, if they're protesting her house, saying she's on stolen land. pretty funny stuff. But there was a really good. What do you think about it? I don't know. I'm just kind of going by that. That whole thing.
Okay, girl, I hear you.
I'm not a girl.
This whole stolen land thing is just a mess, but you're right. We're all living on some kind of stolen territory when you really think about
exactly.
it. Exactly. I mean, look at these celebs trying to...
Yeah, that's another question. Apparently, I have to go a little bit longer if I'm going to allow them to talk much longer. That's part of the issue here with some of these callers. They don't talk long enough. So the point is they don't seem to understand. There was a guy who got interrupted. He was I can't remember where he was. He was in some kind of a meeting and they were talking about this whole thing. Oh, they started off the meeting by acknowledging that they were on some kind of land that was owned by some Indian tribe, or that was there before them or whatever. Well, here's the problem. This guy gets up and he says, okay, should we acknowledge that there was the Choctaw or whoever it was? Yeah. And of course, but then they took it from somebody other. So which tribe should we be giving it back to? He went through three different tribes. He knew his history. In this particular area they were talking about, this particular area of land had been occupied by three different tribes. It was an area where they've been warring back and forth all the time. This is what you don't understand. People didn't just spring from the earth and say, "Oh, this is you grew up here, so this is where you belong." I grew up here, so this is where I belong. I wasn't born in some other country. My grandpa wasn't born in another country. My great grandpa was. My great great grandpa wasn't born in another country. At what point do you become a Native American? At what point am I native here? And that's just the way the nature of life has been for humanity. Now, I think humans are just. I think that most of humanity is better than it was with regard to the way we try to negotiate better than we used to. I think people said, you know, they didn't call them savages for no reason. They didn't come over here from Europe and say, oh, look at this. Look, they've invented so many things. They're industrious people. And they've done. No, they were living in the sticks. Now they were and they weren't just tree hugging. Loving people who just were peaceable about everything. There were rapes and murders and everything else that man does. Wherever man goes, the evil things that happened, they were happening. Which is why you had rival tribes. That's why all the tribes didn't get along with each other. Some of them were just the way they were. Some tribes feared other tribes. Then they took. There were slaves here before the African Americans came here. The Africans, you know, the African folks were scooped up and brought here. Whatever. In fact, there was slavery in Africa. The African trade slavers or the slave traders were the ones who actually sold their own people. There's, if you want to call it that, to the slave trade folks that were buying them. in Africa. Slavery didn't start in America. You'd think that by the way they treat everything, but it's not the way it happened that way. Almost every society has had something in their background with slavery involved in it. Almost all of them, including Africans. And I'm not just talking about South Africans. All right, anyway, I think I need to hang up on a couple of these people, folks, before they start talking again. Why is that not going away? Okay, we have, who else do we have? Oh, here's I think I already talked to Chloe, didn't I? So we're not going to talk to her again. Here's a little call from someone. Let's see what this person has to say. Elena, go ahead.
Nice to make it on the show.
Yeah.
I was on hold for over 4 hours.
Well, you would be, because
I was
having some
technical
problems.
I'm not sure you're right about anything you say. I mean, I've been doing some digging, and I think you're pretty much wrong on every topic you speak about. I mean, everything. So what do you have to say for yourself, Mr. Big Shot, sitting there behind that fancy microphone? You just think you know it all, and you're an expert on everything.
Yeah. Well, probably because I am. I think I am an expert on everything. Everything about everything in my little behind my little microphone here. I just it's my show. I can be an expert if I want to be. So that's some good stuff right there. That's some good sweet tea. And the so I don't know. As far as being an expert, I've tried to put that disclaimer in there. This is for entertainment purposes only. And I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a financial counselor. I am, of course, not. But the speech to text says he's not going to pick that up very well because I said it too fast. So what do you think about that for yourself there, Elena? What do you think? Elena is thinking. So let's see what
she's. Well, if it isn't Miss Elena, our resident historian and truth seeker, I must say I'm quite impressed you managed to sit through 4 hours of hold time just to give me a piece of your mind.
Oh,
as for being an expert on everything, I'll admit my knowledge does tend
she's
to be
kind of talking to herself here, isn't she?
But I assure you, I'm always eager to learn more, especially from insightful Cal.
Cal. You see, I think that she's confused. She thinks it's her show now. I think that's what the problem is. I think that. So it's kind of an interesting way for her to figure that out. I think I just lost Elena. Let's go back to Skip. We'll see what Skip has to say about everything he's been saying about the whole show and everything we've been talking about so far. Let's just see what's going on with that. What do you think there, Skip? What do you think? Of course, now you're not responding now for some reason. Skip, somebody needs to do a welfare check on Skip. He's not doing anything. Something's wrong with Skip. All right, folks, that's kind of the show. That's what's happening, folks, for now. I think that what we have going on here is it is Friday, and it's the end of the end of the week. So Shabbat Shalom to you. We will see the rest of the weekend. Hope all goes well for you. I got to get out and walk the dogs, get some things done today, and get ready to go. I got to start traveling tomorrow. I will be in Albany. I think. No, I'll be in Greensboro. That's where I will be. Monday morning. Monday morning will be on the show. I'll be in Greensboro. Is that in South Carolina? I don't know where it's at. Anyways, it's somewhere. And I'll be there that morning doing the show. And hopefully it all goes well. And we'll see what we have with regard to a few other little call-in folks. There's not going to be a whole lot of big improvements in the program here until... Anyway, have a great weekend. God bless. See you Monday. See ya.